Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 24th of January. Here we go. We're like almost done with January. Valentine's Day is like starting to show up everywhere and all this heart candy, so I guess it's time for chocolate again. But before we get to chocolate, before we get to Valentine's Day, we've got something to talk about for Relationship Wednesday, and that is, how does forgiveness look within a relationship? Because usually when forgiveness is part of something we end up having to face, having to do, having to talk about with someone we love and are very affected by, because we are in a relationship with them, how does it heal us to even get to the point of forgiveness? I have to tell you, with the couples that I've worked with, they come to me and we begin to speak. The thought of forgiving the other one isn't even close to being on the table, isn't even looked at as an option. Because if they are, think about this, anybody is going to see anyone for help in their relationship, they're in the thick of it. They really don't know what to do. They don't know, like, okay, you know, I'm really, really mad, and he or she is not seeing my point of view. And they don't get that this doesn't feel good. They don't get that this hurts. Or they both come in and they're upset. So I always know that there's a magic. There's a complete energy turnaround. Like the energy just flips on its back. It goes from anger to wait a minute. Goes from anger to mute, anger to pause. It just stops. Because the thought of forgiveness, it can't change the hurt you're feeling. It's not like a magic band-aid. But it can begin the healing, because the minute we use the word forgiveness, it takes whatever it is we're feeling and it adds to it a tenderness and a vulnerability, and that you actually start to see the other person as a person with feelings and not just a talking box that's taking away from what you think you want or what you are mad about. It just changes it. It's like, when you exchange energy with people, you meet people, and there's some people you don't want to go near, and there's some people, but when you're in a relationship, you always want to be near that person. You're always exchanging energy, even when you walk by each other and you don't talk. You know how they feel. You know if everything's okay. I can't tell you how many men have told me, the minute I walked in the kitchen, I knew I was in trouble and I didn't know what for. We at times we say we forgive, but we really don't know why we forgive. So then when we get upset again in the future, we start bringing everything that hurt us back, because the hurt never went away. Because sometimes we do abuse forgiveness by believing it is a magic band-aid. But you don't want a band-aid. You want to solve. So how do you really forgive each other and grow past the old stuff that was supposed to grow you, but it actually didn't grow you because you are still hurt? And there's some things that are really hard to get out of your mind if they happen and they attacked your relationship, one of the two of you did, by doing something that really, really is, could be a game changer for your lifetimes. Whether it introduces, you know, there's like a cheating situation or, you know, drugs or alcohol, and the other person doesn't want to stop. Well, that says and speaks for itself. But when you really want your relationship and you really want to fight for it and something really hurt you and you don't know how to face it, what does it mean to forgive your partner? And how do you reconcile your feelings in the process? Because sometimes, you know, partners will cool off a little bit for a while. They don't know really how to come back. They may have said, okay, this happened. I get it. I get it. We've talked about it. We've gone and seen a counselor about it. But I don't know if we've gotten to the truth yet. So if you don't know if you've gotten to the truth yet, then what happens to you? Now you're stuck because you say, well, I've already forgiven. That's already in the past. Nobody wants to hear it, but it's still tugging at me. Now what? So one of the biggest things that people are scared to get to forgiveness for is they have a fear of being taken advantage of. Well, if I forgive them and I give in too easily and we didn't really solve the problem, it didn't change the hurt, but it did begin the healing. Sometimes when you say, I want to forgive you so we can go on, I want to forgive us for allowing this to enter into our relationship, because it, when you really think about any problem a relationship has, it always takes two. Even if the one didn't do anything, but maybe didn't give enough attention or didn't have enough time. So other things started coming into the relationship that maybe would not have come in. But again, that's a testament to who the two people are and what and how much do they care. But it does put you in a very vulnerable place. And the one thing when I did bring up in situations the idea of forgiveness, it was always, well, if I forgive them and it comes too easy, they'll just do it again and then want me to forgive them again. And I thought, well, not if we get to the bottom of it. Now, if we don't get to the bottom of it, the one who may be the one bringing in the issues or bringing in that particular issue may feel like, phew, I just got away with okay, I will never do that again, whatever it was. But what we're really learning is how to react when we are hurt. Just thinking about forgiveness, even if it's something you don't say right away, it's the first movement towards the beginning of understanding and seeing the other person. Starts to say, well, wait a minute. Well, why did they do that? Instead of, you did that to me. Why did they do that? What's going on? And a lot of times the one that's in trouble either feels really dumb about what they did, dumb or stupid, they call them both, or they know that they've done something that isn't right, and they may have given in to some kind of impulse. And it's really hard for you to get the image out of your head over and over and over again. And you're hoping that time will do that because you both don't want to dissolve the relationship. But what happens when the word forgiveness comes in? The truth stops hiding. It really does stop hiding. The other person may say, you know what, I feel insecure when you're really busy. I feel insecure when I don't see you because now I'm starting to think that you don't want to be here. And then I start acting out because then it forces attention on me. If you're with somebody who has narcissistic tendencies, they feel more stable when they make you unstable. Called out, that's going to go on forever. When you're secure and you're standing straight, they're a little bit unstable and shaky because they don't feel like they have a sense of control. And they need control to feel okay. Not all narcissists are bad and methodical and want to hurt you. Some of them are just, they didn't get the kind of love they needed early on. They're the hardest people to have an ongoing relationship with. But you can have one if you understand what's going on. And when you're feeling real secure, they get insecure. And then when you're not so sure about yourself, they feel more in control because now they can control their situation, their environment, you, themselves, their schedule is put in, their structure is put in, everything they expect is put in because they always want to know what to expect. But when you know these things, again, knowledge is power. It always is power. The minute we say the word forgiveness, the truth starts coming out. Behavior starts showing up. And safety starts to open that door where you feel like, wow, I can say whatever I need to say and I'm still going to be okay. If you can just remember that forgiveness can't change the hurt, but it can begin the healing. All it does is it opens the door for how the other person feels. It invites the other person in. Whatever anger's there, whatever we're feeling is there, whatever it is that we feel like we can't handle, start to look at it as something the two of us are handling, that now we're a team and we're both facing this issue. Because remember the show we did on partnerships where, you know, when you can do the stuff that doesn't matter together, where you do the dishes, you take out the trash, you do whatever it is you need to do, whatever that is, then when the bigger things come up, you can do that too. But if you're kind of separate and you're not used to interaction and just working things out, even if they're things that don't matter, when something that does matter comes, now you're at square one because you don't have that mechanism built into how you're going to deal with your issues or how you're going to fix anything. It's a very interesting thing, but that thing about partnerships, that show, that was one of the shows that taught me more during the show. During the show about being with anybody. It's like a mom who's with her kids in good times and bad times and hard times. Then the kids aren't scared of the mother. They're not worried they're going to get in trouble because they have enough good times to balance anything that might go wrong, and they see themselves as them being able to solve it. But if the parents only show up when something's wrong, what do the kids think of the parents? They think, oh my God, what's wrong? Every time their parents come into their room. But if you just go in the room all the time, then you don't have that issue. And the same thing exists with relationships. If you're there all the time and something's wrong, you have confidence, enough confidence in the relationship to face whatever comes up. But when you don't spend that much time together, even though you live together, what happens is when you sleep, you might sleep a little further apart and it doesn't matter, and further apart and it doesn't matter. And before you know it, you're both on one side of the bed. That comfort, that warmth, when it's there, when it doesn't have to be there, it can also be there when you need that comfort most. Because you can even get to the point where even if there's something in the relationship that might be off balance, you can still cuddle to fall asleep at night and know that you're working on it. and you're going to solve it. And trust that you don't need to go to bed upset or rejected or rejecting another person to show that you are not happy at this moment. And sometimes you may not feel like it, but then we put our big hat on that has all these tools in it that says, you know what? I still love this person. I don't want to ultimately hurt this person, nor do I want to be hurt by them. But instead of thinking all of that, you say, hey, you know what? I know we're really in a vulnerable place right now, but I want us to grow in a safe environment with each other. I want us to be each other's safety net. That's something you want too. Forget discussing the issue yet, because what happens is we're learning new ways to communicate without pointing fingers, so that we're not pushing the energy away from the problem. We're bringing it in so we can solve whatever it is we need to solve. When there is an issue and the hurt doesn't go, and you realize that you cannot address this pain you feel, you no longer trust this person, that becomes something you both can deal with and you both can see, because you didn't alienate through anger the issue by not communicating with the person you're having the issue with. A lot of times we have been taught through media and through shows and through movies and through everything that you're supposed to, you know, well, when somebody's wrong, then you have the right to bring them to their knees. But who in God's name wants to be brought to their knees? People run away before they let somebody bring them to their knees. But the minute someone feels right, that means the other person's wrong. And if you're already judged before you get there, because judgment is a total opposite of forgiveness, and you know that the war's already been fought, and the judge and jury is the other person, what in there makes you want to walk into that? The people who do walk into that and don't separate themselves from the problem and say, how are we going to deal with this? Because now you're creating a template to deal with anything. Then the other person isn't likely to participate in the way you would want to heal. It's like an entire new world of thinking that when we are upset, that when we're upset, we can heal through how we deal with it. We have been taught justified anger. We've been taught, well, you did this, and, you know, punish, punish, punish over and over again, because you have a right and the other person admits they're wrong, so now we take advantage of that. But if you say, hey, you know what, the fact that you even get that that's not okay, the fact that you're still here and fighting for us, I'm taking that into consideration. Because think about it. Anybody who's still going to fight for the relationship when something didn't work out, maybe the way you all ultimately thought it would happen once you were together, once you were married, once you were having children and building a life, come back and you say, hey, you know what, that wasn't so cool. That really, I don't know where I was, what made me think that. Because the minute you start to self-solve an issue and you come to your partner and you say, you know what, I'm working on this. I will work on this with you. You know, I don't want to have this issue between us. I don't want to ruin what we have. What happens? You remain partners. You're both working together. to be together, to make it the best it can be. Because you have to understand somewhere in there, life isn't perfect. People aren't perfect. If someone comes to you after the 11th time and they're saying, oh, I'm sorry again, then you know there's something wrong. But for the most part, because there's always exceptions, there's always those edges, too much this way, too much that way. But for the most part, when you have done something that's not so great and may not be relationship friendly or family friendly, and you can say, hey, you know what? I am really not happy that I've done this. And I'm more mad at myself than you could ever be at me or towards me. What does the other person do? They come to you, they hug you, they tell you, hey, you know what? We can do this. We can. Because 90% of the issues that I get by the time they're in front of me is that one person won't admit it. So we have to spend half the time making the person admit that what they've done wasn't okay, not only to their partnership, but to them. If it was okay for them, it would definitely be okay for the partnership. But it always starts, there's always that ground zero. And if you can say it yourself, that's a huge sign of self-awareness. Like, hey, you know what? I get that maybe I wasn't on the right path here. I want to live the rest of my life with you. Can you help me solve my issue? I've seen couples even get past a cheating situation by understanding why they did. Because a lot of times, cheating is a total lateral move. You don't get any deeper when the other one cheats. But sometimes someone is scared of intimacy. Sometimes someone feels ignored. Sometimes the insecurities. It's never about the sex. That's just like the old stereotype of cheating. But it goes back to feeling valued. And if one of the two people don't feel valued and they're in a relationship and they go to work and somebody's talking to them, sometimes it's just an emotional connection. But the other person who's listening becomes more important. That's why Facebook went wild in the beginning. How many times did we hear they met on Facebook? People who never even saw each other. But they got emotionally connected. A lot of them reeled themselves in. A lot of people I know just got off of Facebook completely years ago. Now they're back. We can handle it. It's more of a social medium instead of, you know, all these people who just haven't spoken about their feelings for years and all of a sudden they're speaking about it to strangers. And we had to, like, put it in its box and in its place because it was, like, run amok. People who, you know, dated years ago and found each other again and all of this business, and it wreaked havoc on many existing relationships because it was like this little golden egg that nobody knew was there. And we got to revisit what were our fondest memories, forgetting why these things maybe did not continue in our lives. And the curiosity, not love. The emotional voids were getting filled because people behind a keyboard could say many beautiful things. But you're not living with them. You don't know what they're like every day. That's why I say, keep in mind that there's a virtual reality and there is a reality. But when we investigate, when we get together, I've seen so many instances where people did veer off pretty far with Facebook in the beginning, but they were able to come back when they knew why they did it. The whys, the forgivenesses, the understanding that, you know, putting a magnifying glass on your relationship every once in a while, and taking a look at the small parts you can't see daily, all of that allows for dialogue. It all allows for that openness we need to be able to feel safe enough to communicate. Just saying the word forgiveness. You don't even have to act on it yet. Just say the word and it calms your soul. Because it is a way. It's a healing word. The energy behind it is healing. We're always talking about God forgiving us. God loves us. God doesn't have to forgive us. But we turn everything into this woo-woo business where it's so far away we don't even know if we're forgiven yet or not. It's our job to learn the compassion it takes to understand that forgiveness. And when we understand true forgiveness, then we start to understand God. It's not the other way around. It's just not the other way around. If there's anything I learned from Christ, if we don't know it, if we don't feel it, it doesn't exist in our world until we know it, until we feel it. We get to know God better when we understand ourselves better, because then we're like, huh, now I know why that's such a big deal. And in relationships where we are emotionally tied in, we are physically tied in, everything about our lives is tied in. It's financial, it's mental, it's physical, it's all of them. That's where you learn who you are. That's the hotbed of your biggest teacher in your life. Add to that ever having a child if you're a person who ends up having children in your life. And now, not only do you got to know all that, but you got to deal with someone's personality that, you know, you have to deal with, whether you know that personality or not. Whether your kid comes out the complete opposite of you and you can't figure out how they're your kid, but they're your kid and you love them. And you learn. And you stretch and you grow and you push yourself to see their point of view so that you can remain a forever partner for your child and for your partner. When you can let your kids know that, hey, no matter what you do or have done or will do in your life, and again, for the most part, because every time I say something, someone comes up with an extreme. Well, what if they murder someone? Well, I don't know. I don't know because we don't know why or how or what happened. Again, information is power. But for the most part, when we are able to grow past with whoever it is that's in our lives, then we are able to remain there. If we know how to deal with conflict, no matter where it is, no matter where we're at, we can stay there forever. It's not the good times that keep people together. It's the stuff that lets us know there's balance. But having a recovery, a method, never really, after you have that, takes the relationship to a place of unsolvable issues. It takes the place to like, okay, we need to like stop and reel ourselves in. What just happened? Why did it happen? What made us do that? Us, operative word. And always know in your heart that even if you don't say the word forgiveness, but you act it out. Yeah, I know that we were having that issue. I can see what happened. Again, we open up the door for truth. You guys, it's already up. I can't believe it. I have Dream Theme Thursday tomorrow. Send in your dreams. I will see you then. I love you so much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.